Welcome into the Home Field Advantage podcast here on BLTDSports.com. I'm your host, Louis DiBiase, alongside Jordan Hanskin. This is our second podcast of the week. Friday, May 20th is the date today. Episode 3 of the Home Field Advantage podcast. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at DiBiSportsTalk. Follow Jordan at JHanskinVabble. Jordan, how you doing today?
Doing good.
Are we ready for
quick
the second
week?
Round?
Quick turnaround here. Going right into it.
We got to go back to Vegas. Yeah. You know, doing the old job and had some topics I kind of wanted to get to. We got some fun stuff here on the slate. We're going to be talking about. We're going to be giving our all under 25 team on defense this time. We're going to be doing the ring game. So we're going to be. I'm going to be giving Jordan a quarterback, and he's going to say over under how many rings he gets at the end of his career. What else do we got here? We're going to do who could be the next sleeping giant in the AFC and the NFC, and then we're going to start this new thing where we give a hot take of the day for the show, and then we're also going to give a narrative for the show. So we're going to unveil those later, but we're going to do all of that today. So what I want to kick off with first is just a quick news update, and it's of Jalen Ramsey, the fifth overall pick in the NFL draft, cornerback slash safety out of Florida State, the Jaguars' fifth selection, potentially does have a torn meniscus. He's still seeking a second opinion, and surgeries he's weighing could keep him out as long as 4 to 6 months, which would probably take him out for the entire season. And then there is the potential surgery, which can only could sideline him for 4 to 6 weeks, but it was something I feel like that would kind of be hampering him throughout the entire year. So he's definitely got to weigh his decisions, but, I mean, the Jaguars just can't seem to get out of their own way.
It seems like this happens to them every year,
right?
2 years
in a row, a top five pick of theirs just gets hurt, and it's such a huge... Such a huge impact player, because Randy to me was going to be was the best player in the draft. So
yeah.
It's the Jaguars almost as cursed as Cleveland. I mean,
it's tough for them. I think that's a big blow to a team that everyone was thinking of as a dark horse playoff team.
Yep.
I mean, we were talking about sleeping giants. I mean, Jaguars could easily fit that bill.
Yep.
And this is just a setback. I mean, in all seriousness though, if a rookie cornerback is the difference between you making the playoffs, in your mind, of you making the playoffs and not, you're probably not a playoff team, in my opinion.
True.
At least.
Yeah, and he is the best secondary prospect, though, to come out since Patrick Peterson. He can play both safety and corner. But the Jaguars, to me, I think it's better than last year, where the Jaguars had no pass rushers besides Fowler. So when they lost him, it was a huge blow. But here in the corner position, they have Aaron Colvin, who is suspended. So, but even with those two guys out, they signed Prince Amukamara in free agency, and they have Devon House, who came over from Green Bay last year. It was pretty solid for them last season. So they still have some depth in the secondary, also bringing in Tayshaun Gibson, the safety from Cleveland. So I still think that it's a lot more optimistic for them compared to last year, where Fowler just totally just blew out his knee and was out entirely, and they'll get him back. So I think things are okay with them, as long as, you know, hopefully he gets back during the season, though, because I was excited about his potential. But again, Jaguars just seem to get hampered before the season even starts.
I don't know what they're doing at minicamp, but they should probably stop doing whatever it is that they're doing.
The football guys just don't like the Jaguars.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like Cleveland. So what we want to start with first is our second edition of the All Under 25 team. This time we're going defense. So Jordan's going to give his team. I'm going to give mine. We're going to go down the list. We gave 2 defensive ends, 2 defensive tackles, 2 inside linebackers, 2 outsides, 2 corners, and 2 safeties. Who do you got at defensive end?
First one, I got Stephon Tuitt of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
I really liked him early in his career. I think that he's a great player, and that's all I got for him. I think it's easy.
Yeah, and we decided Khalil Mack was going to be a defensive end, so I put Mack here for obvious reasons. This is, to me, the best pass rusher in the NFL already, and the fact that he can play both defensive end and outside linebacker is insane. How he ended up playing at Buffalo in college...
Well, I know the reasoning behind this. He was...
Injury?
He got hurt.
Yeah.
And he dropped a few starters. No one was really looking at him. Buffalo gave him a shot. I'm pretty sure they were one of the only...
Unreal.
If not the only... The FBS team to give him a scholarship.
Absolutely
offer.
Unreal. And he came in and he's just been best player of that 2014 draft.
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders just got an absolute steal. So he's my defensive end. Who's your other end?
Khalil Mack. Yeah. And for all the reasons you said and more,
he's
an amazing player.
For sacks for the next 10 years. I mean, so. My other defensive end was Leonard Williams of the Jets, the 6th overall pick last year coming out of USC. Again, he was a guy I thought besides Mariota Winston, was the best prospect in that draft. He is behind still Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson, so he hasn't seen the field as much as he would like to, but, you know, this year, I think Richardson actually potentially could be suspended, so I think he's going to see more playing time this year, but he's just a disrupting force, can play both 4-3 or 3-4 end. So I like Williams here. Who do you got at defensive tackle?
I have, I got Aaron Donald of the St. Louis Rams, or the Los Angeles Rams now. I think that he is one of the main forces on their defense. He definitely holds up the middle and is really surprisingly good in pass rush for a defensive tackle, which is normally not asked that often of them.
You got Aaron Donald, so. You got Aaron Donald?
Yeah, sorry.
I was just considering, I had Donald as well. My other guy is Kawan Short. The Carolina Panthers guy. A lot of people, he was the second round pick. Star Latuale was the first guy, but Short has been better than he has. And like Donald, he has been a disrupting force both in the pass rush and against the run. The guy just absorbs blocks and creates lanes for Kuechly and Thomas Davis. That's why I said, you know, as much as Thomas and Kuechly are so important to that defense, they benefit greatly off that front seven. And Short, to me, is the backbone of that defense. So that's my other defensive tackle. Who do you got?
I have Sharif Floyd.
Ooh, the Vikings guy.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the Minnesota's defense has been, like, above and beyond, like, so much better than they were. You look at them 3 years ago. They were
brutally
terrible. And a big reason why is because they've been drafting well. We're going to go to another Minnesota Vikings guy soon.
Yeah.
But I think Sharif Floyd is one of the prime examples of why the Vikings defense has gotten so much better.
And honestly, I've kept naming Vikings defensive players. I'm like, is this guy under 25? But they're all, like, right over because you got Harrison Smith. Xavier Rhodes, you know, now, and you got Sharif Floyd, who was a guy most people projected was going to be a top three pick in that draft, but he fell all the way to the Vikings, I think, in the 20s. So it was incredible steal for the Vikings. He's been an absolute stud. Middle linebackers, we both agreed. I mean, Luke Kuechly is 25.
Luke Kuechly is 25.
And under.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Luke Kuechly is, what, best defensive player in the league?
Probably.
If not, if J.J. Watt, and he's only 25 years old. He's only going to get better from here, which is a scary thought.
Yeah, so this was an easy one. My other guy was C.J. Mosley of the Ravens. Replacing Ray Lewis, he's been an absolute stud in his first 2 years, and he's kind of like Kuechly, where he's just a generational linebacker that's just going to dominate the league for the next decade. So
My other middle linebacker is a controversial player. A lot of people may not like him or how he plays the game, but you can't deny how good he is, and it's Fontez Perfect.
Oh, the goon.
The goon.
He's suspended for the first week. We got into a heated, I think it was...
Oh, we did, we did.
We got into a heated debate during that playoff game when he hit Brown in the head.
Yeah, I thought that he couldn't, he was already going into the hit, and I thought he couldn't really, he attempted to, it looked to me like he attempted to get away from it, but he didn't, and unfortunately he earned that suspension. I mean, you just can't do that in today's NFL.
He's also a repeat offender, too.
Yeah,
so.
But, I mean, I love the way he plays the game. Yeah. I wanted my Bills to draft him. I was saying it all over that draft. I wanted him to draft him. He went undrafted. Bengals got an absolute steal as an undrafted free agent for this guy. I mean, his play definitely outweighs the penalties that he takes.
He was a guy, honestly, that's like almost in the wrong generation. Like, you put him in the 70s, like, with that steel, like, steel curtain.
He's
defense,
one of the
like,
best defensive players
that hard,
in the league.
Yeah, but, like, that hard-hitting mentality, that, like, getting him fines over and over again, that scene is normal, and it's seen as, you know, that would put him as one of the best players in the league back in the older days when, you know, hits to the head and stuff like that were, you know, less strict than they are now.
He will need to alter his play a little
bit. He's gonna have to.
Yeah. Otherwise, these suspensions are just gonna pile up, and they're gonna get more and more games tacked on. And he's no help to them when he's not off the field.
No, he's not. So, and sometimes it's just like, sometimes like you just realize a player is what he is, and it's just hard to control it once you're on the field and those instincts kicked in. So,
I'd be totally happy to have him on my team.
Yeah. I mean, I would, too. He's one of the best inside linebackers in the NFL, and he's under 25. He's exactly 25, or...
25.
25, so, yeah, he's one of the best in the NFL. Outside linebackers, we both had Anthony Barr, right? The Vikings UCLA, he's been an absolute stud, too.
Yep, no doubt. Minnesota, once again, great pick. Smart drafting, going with the best player available at the time. And it shows on the field. That's why you guys are doing so well.
Incredible in pass rush, incredible in coverage. He's just been the backbone to me of that defense. Oh, man, another guy I could have said, I just popped in my head because I'm thinking of the Vikings, and inside linebacker is Eric Kendricks, their second-round pick last year, who led the team in tackles. He's been a stud. But, again, the Vikings, and who I'll talk about in a little bit, have just really nailed a lot of these picks on defense. My other outside linebacker is Preston Smith from the Redskins, a guy that came out of Louisville a few years back. He has been an absolute stud going up. Yes, he does benefit from Ryan Kerrigan being on the other side, but, man, the length and the speed that he has, it's just, it's hard to teach. Who's your other outside linebacker?
I cheated a little bit on this one.
Yeah.
Because he is technically listed as a safety, but you see the how this defense operates, and you see where he lines up most of the play, and he's essentially a linebacker, and it's Deion Buchanan,
the
Arizona Cardinals. I love the way their defense is set up, where he can essentially just be like what we would call it when we played football as the monster back.
Okay.
Where he's essentially just roves around and just wreaks havoc around the defense, around the middle of the field. And I think Deion Buchanan is a perfect player for that. He's super fast, and he has a surprising amount of strength for how undersized he is at the linebacker. I say linebacker hesitantly, but linebacker position. I love Deion Buchanan.
You're seeing teams like almost like try to do exactly what Arizona's doing by getting that player that, you know, can play both linebacker and safety. You saw the Redskins do it this year in the second round when they took Sua Cravens of USC as a guy that plays both linebacker and safety. So a lot of people are seeing what they're doing with Buchanan. They're like, we got to get a versatile player like that as well. So a really good pick. Corners, who do you got for your first corner?
First corner is Marcus Peters, Kansas City. I thought he was amazing. I hated it because the other cornerback that I picked was constantly getting like overshadowed by how good Marcus Peters was.
Yeah.
But he's an easy selection. He was so good last year in his rookie season.
And he fell down the boards last year out of Washington because of a lot of the character concerns. You know, he didn't get along with the new coaching regime. But, you know, quickly, just you're seeing a lot of these guys, and another player I'll talk about in a second, you're seeing a lot of these guys that have character concerns coming out of the draft, and when they're just put in the right situation, it just goes away, and then they just absolutely ball out. And that's what Marcus Peters did last year. And he overshadowed who?
He overshadowed, in my opinion, Ronald Darby, the one of the Buffalo Bills. Another player that he was getting overshadowed in the draft, not by character issues, but more by people saying that he had lack of ball skills or he's just too small.
Right.
He's never going to fix the height, but he plays in a big way, and he's very aggressive as a cornerback, and I love the way he plays. And his first game, he was playing against the Colts, and Andrew Luck threw pretty weak ball, but you saw Darby just cut in front of the receiver and just steal it on a bomb. And when I said lack of ball skills, I don't see that at all. He's a great player.
A lot of people a lot of scouts and GMs are nervous about that lack of ball skills, and that's why Mackenzie Alexander this year dropped so far in the draft, and why the Vikings scooped him up in the third round, because people they want the ball hawking type of corner like Marcus Peters is. So I like the Darby pick. The other guy I had was Jalen Ramsey, because like I said earlier, he is to me the best secondary prospect coming out of the draft since Patrick Peterson was. He can play all over the field. He's a guy that, honestly, he has the size. He could almost be a Deion Buchanan type role, too. He can play linebacker, safety, or corner. Depending on where Jacksonville puts him, he's going to be an absolute stud. He's just got to get healthy. And to me, he's going to be one of the best young secondary players in the NFL. Who's your safety?
Honey Badger.
Them, who's the
Honey
first?
Badger.
Of course.
So, I mean, you can't deny it. He's, what, 24 years old?
How did that man go in the third round?
It's
unreal. It's because he smoked marijuana. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous, isn't it? Like, you see the NFL just, like, blow picks because guys are doing something that's illegal in, what, two states now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not. I think it's just, it's doesn't make sense. They should know, in fairness, that the NFL doesn't allow it, so be smart about it.
Yeah,
and don't
it's
get in
the
trouble.
Rule, so.
I mean, Tyrone Matthew has he gotten suspended for anything? Yeah.
He's been
a prolific star for Arizona.
Yeah. And he has been almost a poster child for Arizona taking more risks, and that's why they went out and got Robert Nmdichie in the first round this year, because you put a guy like Matthew in that type of situation, like Marcus Peters was in Kansas City, and they thrive. And, you know, Patrick Peterson was a guy that he really looked up to, and coming in, it's only helped him. And Matthew is another guy. The trend in this all under 25 team is versatility, because Matthew plays in the slot a lot. He can play on the outside. And for his size, he plays a lot bigger than how tall he really is. So absolutely ridiculous that he fell all the way to the third round. And he's never gotten in trouble so far. And that was my first safety. Who's your second guy?
Clinton Dix of the Green Bay Packers. I think he's just another great player. Does everything well. I've always thought of him as a hard-hitting safety.
Yeah, he's a bigger guy.
Yeah. At Alabama, he was just dominant. You always saw him on the field, and you're like, who's that guy with the funny name running around? Just tackling everybody. And then you find out his first name's Haha, too, and it's like, oh my gosh, this guy's great. Gotta love it.
My second guy was Kenny Vaccaro. Another hard-hitting, undersized safety, but for the Saints, he's been the really one of the only bright spots in that defense, which has kind of been a joke for the past 3 years under Rob Ryan, who's now in Buffalo. Your guy's
yeah.
Joining up with Rex here. But Vaccaro's been an absolute star for the Saints. He's just he's a guy that really, he's not going to miss any tackles in the open field, and that's something the Saints have desperately needed because of how bad their corners have been. So that's going to wrap up our All Under 25 team. I'm going to post underneath the podcast for you guys. We're going to post our rosters, each of us. I'll put them on BLTDsports.com for everyone to go take a look at. So next up, before we go to the ring game, I want to talk about who could be the next sleeping giant in the AFC and NFC. You know, last year, no one, the Panthers were 7-8-1. Yeah, but the year before when they won the NFC South. They won a playoff game. They beat the Cardinals, who had Ryan Lindley at quarterback. But no one was really expecting them to go 15-1 and Cam Newton to have the year like he did. Who is a, and we're going to each give an AFC and NFC team. In the AFC, who is a team that could just absolutely take the league by storm and just someone you just do not expect and just almost roll through the league?
I think we were talking about this team a little bit earlier with their selection of Khalil Mack, and it's got to be the Oakland Raiders.
Okay.
You see what, and I don't know how long they're going to be in Oakland for. We'll see
where
that goes.
The Vegas Raiders.
Vegas Raiders, San Antonio Raiders I was hearing about.
I like Vegas
But anyway, the Raiders have one thing that you need if you want to be a team in this league, and that a really good team in this league, and it's Derek Carr. They have a quarterback. That's what they need. They have, and they have the prolific receiver now. They have a pretty good running back.
Yeah, and they have a pretty good second receiver too, in Michael Crabtree.
Right. And they have, and their defense is just going to get better. They keep addressing all their problems well. It's all about drafting well, and the Raiders have done that.
Yeah, I picked the Jaguars in the AFC because just like the Raiders, they have a quarterback in Bortles who last year had 35 touchdowns. You look at it, and the Raiders have two receivers, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. The Jaguars have both Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson, who had over 1,000 yards and double-digit touchdowns. They add Chris Ivory in the free agency. You go put him along with TJ Yeldon. And then on defense, all of the star picks that they got. You know, they picked up Malik Jackson in free agency. They picked up Prince Amukamara, Tayshaun Gibson. You add, hopefully Jalen Ramsey's better, is good to go by week one. You add Miles Jack, who is a steal in the second round. It just seems like it's almost impossible for Gus Bradley to fail with the young roster they have. And I feel like in a weak AFC South, you know, you don't know what the Colts are going to be. Without if Andrew Luck has injury problems again, they could be, you know, a 6-10, 5-11 team. You never know what in a weak division with a team that has a quarterback like Jacksonville does. Honestly, I would not be surprised if they won the division and made a run in the playoffs. It might be a stretch, but again, this is a sleeping giant that not many people are expecting to take that big of a step. But I think the Jaguars had the potential to do it, and if not, you could be seeing a new regime coming in because there's just so much talent on this roster. Who is a sleeping giant that you have in the NFC?
I really struggled with the NFC.
Yeah,
but
most of the potential, the big-time guys are going to be staying there for a while.
Yep, but I really like the trend that Atlanta has. I don't think they're necessarily going to overtake the Panthers immediately, but as long as their issue is Matt Ryan and how he plays in the red zone. He really struggles. He turns the ball over in the red zone. You cannot get to the inside the 20 and then throw the ball away and just give it up. I think Atlanta found out that they have a running back. They haven't had a running back in a long time.
They have two good ones.
Yeah.
They got Tevin Coleman, too.
They do. They do. And, I mean, I think Devonta Freeman has definitely earned that starting job.
Yes.
But I think that they have figured out that, and they finally addressed pass rush with Beasley, who had a pretty good year for them. Mm-hmm. I really like the trend that they're going.
And they also got Courtney Upshaw in free agency. They're making some nice moves up. The team I picked, though, and this is a team that you know and everyone that I talk to knows I'm a big fan of, you know, my allegiance is to the Eagles, but the Vikings is a team that I really think
surprise,
is doing it the
surprise.
Right way. I mean, they are. It's still, ESPN mistakenly said that Green Bay won the NFC North last year. Like, not many people understand what a step they took last year, and this year with Bridgewater just in his third year, hopefully he takes the next step, but adding Laquon Treadwell, it makes that offense so dynamic. It really does, and I just think, like, we were talking about how great they've done in the draft in the past 5 years and building up that defense to be a juggernaut. You saw what they did to the Seahawks last year. I mean, yeah, it was, like, -5 degrees outside, but They just absolutely shut down Russell Wilson. They have every piece on defense.
Yeah, they were a 30-yard field goal away.
Yeah,
from
they were Blair Walsh
moving on.
Chips that in, and they're facing Arizona in the second round. And Bridgewater made a nice drive to get down there, and I think, but North Turner has to let Bridgewater loose. He has to allow him to take off the training wheels. And yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Adrian Peterson is there, and he's going to be still the primary focal point of that offense, but eventually, you have to keep defenses honest, and you have to let Bridgewater throw the football.
I'm glad you addressed that, because I was just going to say the same thing. He's the leash that they have on Teddy Bridgewater is one of the most bizarre things I've ever seen. They are the most protective organization of their young quarterback that I've seen. You see Oakland and Jacksonville, they let them throw the ball.
And you see Bridgewater is showing traits like of, you know, pocket awareness and things that he was, to me, the most pro-ready guy coming out. And to me, he's ready to go. But again, they're still holding him back. And yeah, those other guys don't have Adrian Peterson. The Vikings also had little to no weapons last year. But still, you know, eventually you have to let your quarterback grow with this team. And it just seems like he's just taking a backseat to Peterson. And until they let him throw the football, I think Green Bay is always going to be a step ahead. I also think
that leash that Bridgewater gets is the reason why everyone still thinks Minnesota didn't win the NFC North last year, even though they did.
Yeah.
People just don't forget about them because they're not playing the game similarly to the Packers. You think Aaron Rodgers, stud quarterback. You think the Vikings, you think, oh, they play it safe. They play it protective.
Right.
And they need to let that loose this year. If they're going to have like a 12-4 season, 13-3 season, it's going to be because Teddy Bridgewater is not throwing 19 touchdowns, but 35 touchdowns.
And I'm okay with a team, you know, on offense surrounding themselves with more of a run-based attack. Seattle does it great. They won a Super Bowl off it. But again, when Russell Wilson needs to start throwing the football and start balling out, he does. They let loose, and despite them not having many good weapons at all, they trusted their young quarterback, even in their rookie season. You saw him just put the team on their shoulders and almost took Atlanta out in the second round, despite being down by like 28 points or something in the second half. Eventually, you have to allow Bridgewater to take over the reins and still implement having Peterson as the main, you know, the main guy, but you just have to throw the football more. And hopefully, you know, they're going indoors now this year, which is going to help even more, because Bridgewater's arm isn't the strongest in the NFL. He's more of a guy that's built on accuracy and timing and touch, but they have to do that. And if they do, to me, this could be a 12-13 win team. I'm not joking. You know, what they did to Rodgers week 17 last year and what they did to the league last year on defense, it's impressive. And if they just add that dynamic on offense, this could be a team. And I'm fully serious here. I think they could win the NFC this year if they take that step. But it is a big step, but they could be a sleeping giant of the league. All right. It's time.
Oh, no. For the
QB ring game. I'm
gonna
go.
All
right, so what
let me get some more enthusiasm in this.
Got it. I'm going to give you 10 quarterbacks.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to throw at you at the end of their year. No, at the end of their career. Oops. Who has the... Well, how many rings do they have at the end of their career? I'm going to give you an over-under. So I'll throw you at you like two, and then you decide. And then I'll give mine as well. So let's start it off.
Give me the halves. Say 2.5. So I can choose between three or two.
Agreed. All right. The first guy I'm going to go with is Andrew Luck. Over under 1.5 rings.
Under? I think under. I don't think the Colts win twice.
No?
No.
I mean, he's only in...
They haven't done it yet. I think the Colts are one of the worst drafting teams ever.
Yeah, they're pretty bad.
So I just always envision the Colts the same way. If Andrew Luck is in, Andrew Luck plays well, they go 11-5 and lose in the second round.
Okay.
That's what I envision the Colts to be, and if Andrew Luck is hurt, they don't make the playoffs.
That's the Colts.
I think they're under.
All right, I'll give you 5 quarterbacks in the AFC and 5 in the AFC. NFC and AFC. We'll do it that way. So there's one quarterback in the AFC. Ooh, I like this one. Derek Carr, over under 2.5 rings. That's a lot.
Under. That's just too many. I think he could get two. Derek Carr could get two. I think that the Raiders are a much more... I'm more comfortable with how the Raiders franchise is going than with the Colts. I'm not saying that he's better than Andrew Luck. I just think he's in a better situation than Andrew Luck.
Okay. I'm going to give you an older guy now. a player that already has two rings. By the end of his career, Ben Roethlisberger. I'll go 3.5. Does he get another one? Does he get more than
that? I'm going to say under.
Yeah?
I think he could get one more, but I don't think he's going to get two more.
I mean, that offense is dynamic, though.
Defense
comes along.
I mean, how many more years is he going to have to deal with Tom?
I mean, what's Brady now, 39?
I think Brady could play for 5 to 7 more years.
He hasn't even been able to get to Tom, though, in the playoffs. So I can see your point. Yeah, he couldn't even get
to Tom. I mean, Tom's always going to be there. Denver for the short term is probably going to be around there. I mean, their defense is amazing. But we'll move on. I mean, how do you feel about Roethlisberger?
I think he gets over.
You think he wins two more?
I think Pittsburgh is going to become a powerhouse. If they have battled injuries time and time again, they cannot get their offense fully healthy. And I think Roethlisberger, to me, still has 5 good years in
him. Roethlisberger wins two more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Where does he rank among all-time quarterbacks?
Let's see. How many would he have? Four?
He'd have four. I think he's top five. I think he's top
if
five.
If he wins two more, he's top
he's
five.
He's still behind Brady and Montana. Then I start thinking.
I put over Peyton, and it's not even close.
Yeah, I think over. Well, Peyton's regular season numbers were amazing.
Yeah, but he's got two. Okay. Yeah, this is the debate
like
about
what's.
How much,
I mean, this is just a quarterback.
How much
debate.
Do we put into account of rings?
Four like Super Bowl Roethlisberger. Oh my! First ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Four ring Roethlisberger.
Is four ring Roethlisberger better than four ring Montana? I mean, why wouldn't he?
Nah. Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, this is a hypothetical Super Roethlisberger we're thinking of, but wow. All
right, so we did Ben Roethlisberger, Derek Carr, and Andrew Luck. All right, I'm going to give you Andy Dalton, over-under, 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah.
Under. But he gets one.
Okay. Yeah, Andy Dalton gets one. Half, but
Andy Dalton gets one.
You think Andy Dalton gets one?
I think they win one.
I don't know.
Their window's starting to when is that window going to close? Because that team's still young.
They are. That's the good
But can thing. They keep them all?
I mean, it could be a thing like
Seattle. I think Cincinnati is eventually going to be cap-pressed.
Yeah.
It's got to happen sometime, right? Denver just hit it.
That's true. But do they get one before that happens?
I think they have a very good chance this year.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, they very well could. I'm going to say I don't think he gets one.
No. Never gets one.
So I'll change it to over under half. I say under.
Poor Andy.
I don't think it happens. One more in the AFC. Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
Blake Bortles.
Over How under many?
Half. Does he get one?
No.
No way. I mean, you got to look at it this way though too. These guys are only coming into their like.
I'm just thinking.
Third year.
I just don't see Jacksonville ever.
But what happens when Brady's gone? Like,
I just don't see Jacksonville winning
things. What happens when Brady's gone a few years and Big Ben's gone? Like, Peyton's already out.
We don't.
Of
yeah,
picture,
but the
so
other thing that the other thing you can talk AFC. About is who's going to be coming up? Who's in the college ranks right now? Is there a guy? Is there a guy that's just going to pop up? You know, like you say, like when Tom Brady's gone,
go Bortles just like Bortles has got to go through Brady. Though.
And who knows? What if Cardale Jones becomes amazing?
Oh,
who knows? I mean, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? I think I don't. I just don't see the Jaguars winning a game, winning the Super Bowl.
You got to get out of your way. Like once those guys are gone, though, Jacksonville is making your two.
I like the Raiders more than Jacksonville.
Okay. I got you.
So I gave Derek Carr, what, 2?
Yeah.
So the Derek Carr-Bortles rivalry, the Raiders have the upper hand.
All right.
I like their coaching better. If I had to pick those two in like a AFC championship
like
game, I like Del Rio better.
Over Gus Bradley?
Yeah.
All right. I got you.
I like old Jags more new Jags.
Let's move on to the NFC.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Teddy Two Gloves?
Teddy Bridgewater, over under 1.5.
Under.
I think this could be a dynasty.
Under.
I'm not joking.
I don't.
You think he gets one?
I think he gets one.
Right.
I think Minnesota will win one.
So he wins a ring.
Well, maybe he won somewhere else.
Ooh.
No, I think he wins
one
in Minnesota.
He's had enough of Adrian Peterson.
I think their window is going to be not this year. I think it's next year for like 3 years.
Yeah.
I think this year they make a step.
Because most of their
I think this year they win
the
they win a game in the playoffs. They win one, and then they lose to a Seattle
or
something.
Yeah, because they're going to eventually...
Or an Arizona.
Okay.
But I think next year, if Bridgewater can make that step, that team could be in that... I could see them winning 1-2. So it was tough for me, but it was a slight under.
Okay.
1.5.
I say you get to at least 2.
Okay.
I think that team is a force to be reckoned with. Let's see. Cam Newton, over-under. 1.5. I like that 1.5 mark. Because it's real hard to get that first one, but once you get that first one, really?
Yep.
I guess I'm too optimistic. I think I'm too optimistic.
I think that their season, I think we talked about it on the radio earlier
this
week.
Yeah,
on
the Blitz. Where, the off-season.
Yeah, I think Derek, one of our
yeah, Derek Kramer,
co-hosts, yeah, he was
also he is a writer for BLTD Sports. So.
Yeah, I think Derek made a good point, and he's like that Panther season, that is the perfect storm of awesome.
But that's 15 wins, though. I mean, even if you knock off,
I know,
wins,
but
11-5.
Do they have that same swagger when they're 11-5?
I think they do.
Do they have it?
They had it when they were 7-8-1. Cam Newton's always.
Do they have it without Norman? How good are they going to be without Norman?
I think they're going to be fine, and they're adding Kelvin Benjamin back. Honestly, I think Norman benefited so much off that front seven, and they run a zone defense anyway. That their corners are going to benefit greatly. I think they're going to be fine.
I'm not a huge fan of their line.
Their defensive line?
Their offensive line.
They don't. It's fine. It's
fine.
It's enough fine. For what Cam does.
It got exploited in the Super Bowl.
But so did every offensive line from Denver that year. I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying. But to be the best, you have to beat the best. And if they can't beat those guys,
I mean, it was a one time.
With Peyton being terrible.
I don't think Denver will be back, though. I don't think they have to deal with them anymore.
There is always going to be someone, whoever makes the Super Bowl normally has a good pass rush.
That's true. I mean, Carolina.
I think I want it, yeah. But the point is, Carolina doesn't have the line.
He had eventually those receivers got locked down. Now you had Kelvin Benjamin back, and I think eventually they'll add a tackle. I think Cam Newton gets at least one. I think he definitely gets one.
I think that for his sake, I hope you're right, but I just don't see it.
I just don't think you like Cam Newton.
That's not true. That's not true. I don't like their line. I like Cam Newton. I just don't like seeing Cam Newton on his back a lot.
Yeah, okay. So we did Teddy Bridgewater and Cam Newton. Who else should I do? You could pick an older guy. You know what? I'll give you one. Aaron Rodgers. He's got one over under, 1.5. Does he get another one?
He gets another one. Aaron Rodgers gets another one. I think it's going to be tougher because of I think it's going to be tougher because, like you said, the Vikings are right there. The NFC has a few good teams. They got some.
They
good
got some
teams.
Guys waiting in the wings. Chicago's a team eventually. Get my Philadelphia Eagles a few times.
Who's playing quarterback? Who's that? Eventually, Chicago. Who plays quarterback?
Chicago needs a quarterback. If they had a good quarterback, if they drafted one a few years in this 3-year span, I would say that this is a sleeping giant, honestly, because their roster is impressive. It's what John Fox has done with that team is good.
So you think no for Aaron Rodgers getting another?
I don't think he gets another one. I really don't. He hasn't been that impressive in the playoffs. And that's something that no one calls him out on. Like, you know, he really...
Yeah, people are far too nice to Aaron Rodgers, I think.
He hasn't been back since 2010.
And you spoke of it
once.
Yeah, you spoke of it earlier. People are far too tough on far too easy on Aaron Rodgers and far too tough on Cam.
That's true.
Because his problem was not... Their problem in the Super Bowl, I don't think, was Cam. Like, it was the line, and the fact that Denver's defense was just amazing.
Right.
Like, he had really no chance to do anything.
Why they're too easy on Aaron Rodgers is because he's a classic quarterback
He also doesn't have a ton of weapons.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
He makes his weapons.
But he's not a guy that's, you know, a pain in the rear end to the media. He's a traditional quarterback. I think race does have a little bit to do with it, and I think that people are just too hard on Cam, and they're too easy with Aaron Rodgers. So I don't think he gets one. I really don't. All right.
Ouch.
Jameis Winston, over under
half.
Does he get one?
I think he does.
I don't know.
I like Jameis Winston a lot.
Do you?
Yeah. I really. I thought he was.
What? I mean, Cam's gonna be there for a long time.
Cam is gonna be there, but how long is that Panthers team gonna be good around him?
That's true. Their window. Is close.
Their window is small.
It's the next 2 years. Thomas Davis is getting older. Greg Olsen, Jonathan Stewart. So, yeah, they do have some young pieces, but, yeah.
That's why their Super Bowl loss is a lot tougher
to
deal with, yeah.
Good thing is that their defensive line is
And Luke Kuechly's 25.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly and that defensive line is very young, so they're still going to be
I still don't understand what they're doing with Josh Norman, but that's besides the point. I really like Jameis Winston. And if Tampa Bay maybe takes another year and develops and also, like, I think they need to struggle a little bit more and get another really good player to help out anywhere really, because they could use a lot of different things.
I mean, they just eventually,
but when their window is going to be in about 4 years, I think, 3 or 4 years.
And I hate to go back to Carolina, but we got to talk when you're a team that's as good as they are, like in the bottom of the first round there, like you have the flexibility to take more risks and not just go best player available. Like, oh, we're going to take Vernon Butler, defensive tackle. Like, he's not going to start. He's going to be the third string defensive tackle. Like, he's going to be a rotational guy. When you have the pieces that you already have to make a Super Bowl run, you start drafting for need. You say, okay, let's just take a shot at this left tackle. Let's take Jermaine Afidi. Or, you know, he wasn't available. But, you know, eventually that's like, all right, let's throw some darts at the board and see if anything, you know, if anything hits. Because if we're a right tackle away from being a champion, why not, instead of getting a reserve defensive tackle?
Yeah, you saw Dallas do it.
Yeah.
They said, oh, wow, we're never going to be in this spot again for a while. Dallas is thinking, as long as Romo stays healthy, we're going to be back at the bottom again. We're never going to get a chance at a playmaker like Ezekiel Elliott, so yeah, we're just going to go after him now, and maybe, like, he could be a Hall of Famer for us. Like, we don't even know.
When you go to the grocery store and you need milk, eggs, cereal,
I like this analogy
chips,
right now.
When you need all that stuff, and your wife says, I need milk, I need eggs, I need bread.
Do you take a shot on Doritos?
I need potato chips, all right?
I have no idea where this is going.
But we already have, you know, we already have ice cream. We already have, you know, cinnamon rolls. Honey, I bought 10 things of cinnamon rolls, and I brought in some more ice cream. It's like, you don't need that. Like, you're going to the grocery... The draft is the grocery store. And you're going there to get stuff you need. And that's what I feel like the draft is. And
okay,
a lot of people just don't use it the proper way.
I had no idea where the analogy was...
Now?
I had no idea where it was going at first, but I did like
sense?
Where it ended.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We've done 3 quarterbacks in the NFC. We'll do 2 more. Tony Romo, because that's your guy. Does he get one?
Yes.
Over under half.
He gets one.
You're such a homer.
He gets one. I'm not even a homer. I'm not even a Cowboys fan. Well, I'm a Tony fan.
You're a Tony fan.
I'm a Tony fan.
You're a Tony fan, like I'm a Teddy fan.
I think, but their window is this year or next year. Their window is now. Like, they have to win now, because Tony's not going to last very long.
36 years old already.
Yeah.
His collarbone's being held together by scotch tape and paper clips.
I do really... I think Dallas is going to win the NFC East this year. I talked about it earlier. I think that Dallas is really good. I think that Ezekiel Elliott's almost... I give him like a 75% chance of winning Rookie of the Year.
Is he an upgrade over DeMarco Murray was 2 years ago?
Yes.
I agree.
I think he's the best running back since Adrian Peterson.
Okay. He's the best prospect coming out since then.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Best running back in the draft since Adrian.
Does Elliott get picked ahead of Gurley in last year's draft?
Picked ahead of Gurley.
Who's picked?
Yes, I think he picks. I think he gets picked at Gurley's spot. Gurley had question marks with his injury.
True, and he's not as explosive in the receiving game. I still say Tony doesn't win another one. I just think he just doesn't.
Who's the homer now?
Yeah.
Who hates the Cowboys?
I just don't think
you hate the Cowboys.
I don't think he's going to be healthy for the rest of his career.
No.
Every time he gets hit, he breaks his collarbone.
Because they keep hitting him there. I really want him to win one. I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks. I think he gets such a bad rep because everyone's like, oh my gosh, look at the blunders Tony Romo's had. Oh my gosh, he dropped a snap. What is your starting quarterback kind of holding the football for? But anyway, I think Tony Romo gets a lot of unfair criticism. The only criticism people should give him is that he gets hurt a lot.
And he only has 2 playoff victories though in his entire career. He's just like Rodgers, like.
Yeah, but he makes that team. He is arguably one of the most valuable players to their given team.
Oh, 100%. They were what, 3-13 last year, and they won.
He gets the Peyton Manning thing. When Peyton Manning goes down, the Colts are terrible. Yeah. When Andrew Luck goes down, the Colts are terrible. When Tony Romo goes down, the Cowboys are awful.
Yeah.
Tony Romo is a huge boost for the Dallas Cowboys, and I think he's a great leader for the Dallas Cowboys. I hope he gets one. I think that I just did out of my head. That was a heart pick.
That's right.
That was a heart pick.
Right. Okay.
Out of head pick.
Final one. Carson Palmer of the Arizona Cardinals, over under half. That team is going.
If I picked Romo, I got to pick Carson.
Yeah, Palmer.
Right. I got. I'm picking for the same reason.
Right.
Their team is good. Their window's narrow, especially for Carson Palmer.
He is also 36 years
Yeah.
old.
Tony Romo and Carson Palmer are very similar in their regard. Their teams are both very good with them in the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Carson Palmer, though, he looked really bad in that Panthers game.
He just might never come back from that. I mean, he says he's obsessed with winning a championship this year. I do think he gets one, because I think with the addition of Chandler Jones, I think they're the favorite to win the NFC this year. And, you know, without Peyton, without really a real option at quarterback for Denver, I think that they could take advantage this season. So I think Arizona wins one in the next 2 years. So I think it gets at least one.
The thing, though, about the Chandler Jones thing is, how many times do you see a New England Patriots player leave the Patriots and be a star for their new team? I think the Patriots know something about him.
Good point. I don't think they know something about him. I just think they don't want to pay.
Patriots do everything for a reason.
Yeah, they do. They saw how much the Giants paid Olivier Vernon, and they're like, oh, no way in hell we're giving Chandler Jones twice that amount of money next year. That's why. Because the Patriots are going to refuse. They're not going to let him cash in.
Best thing for Chandler Jones, he's playing with. He's being coached by a great coach.
Absolutely. And he's a guy. He showed up at a police office last year after smoking marijuana or something. I don't know what I think he showed up nude at a police office.
Okay.
So, yeah. He's got some character concerns as well, but he's in a great situation. And you just add that pass rush and Nnamdi, I think Carson Palmer gets at least one.
It's Carson Palmer.
Yeah.
He's one of the most tragic playoff quarterbacks.
Yeah, I rely more on David Johnson this year, too, I think. I think that they threw a lot, way more than they needed to, because they got down early in that NFC title game, and the Panthers just pounded him into the ground the entire game. So they got to rely on Johnson more this year, but you got Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, and John Brown. You know, the opportunity is now, and I think Palmer does seize it at least once. So that'll wrap up the QB game. Narrative of the day.
My narrative of the day?
I'm going to make a sound drop for the show for next week.
Oh, I'm excited.
But right now, we're both going to give a stupid narrative that players and coaches give during press conferences.
Okay.
Give me yours.
Okay, my theme for narrative and hot take of the day are pretty similar. They involve backup young quarterbacks and veteran starters.
Okay.
And it's first one is, that starting quarterback is my mentor. That's just a nonsense narrative to me. I think that guy's your competition. That guy's your number one competition. Like, you're a rookie, you come in, and you see Geno Smith up there, you know Christian Hackenberg's not saying, man, that guy's my mentor, I'm really following everything that he's doing, I'm really learning the way.
I don't think Wentz actually likes Bradford.
Yeah, I'm really learning the ways of the NFL from him. No, you're trying to take his job any chance you get. He throws a 10-yard out, you're trying to throw a better 10-yard out.
Yep.
He throws an incomplete pass, you seize the opportunity to throw a completion. Don't give me that quarterback's my mentor thing. Quarterback's your number one target.
Was Brett Favre Aaron Rodgers' mentor? I don't think so.
No, Brett Favre did not probably resented the heck out of Aaron Rodgers.
He hated that pick, and he balled out for 4 or 5 years until he just eventually couldn't
play. Bradford was the only quarterback that had the guts to say that he was pissed about it.
That's true. I mean, he kind of made more of it, though, demanding a trade. I mean, Brett Favre didn't demand a trade. You know, he did. He just led the Packers to an NFC.
And then he retired and then became a Jet. Oh, no, then he got traded. Then he retired, and then he became a Viking.
Then he retired,
and then now he does jeans commercials.
Yeah, now he's just a jeans guy.
So what's your narrative? All right,
I actually changed mine. I'm going to give my other one next week. This week is, he's the first one in and the last one out. I hate that. I absolutely hate it, because you know what I imagine?
My favorite was, they said Jameis Winston, first one in, last one out. I believe it. I mean, but he's the quarterback. He should be the first one in, last one out.
I just imagine like a showdown of like J.J. Watt. Like, say Brock Osweiler. I just imagine both of those two in the film room or in the gym, and they're like, all right, well, I'm going to be here for a while.
One of us has to leave first.
And they both just stand, they're just waiting for the other guy to leave. And Watt's like, all right, well, I'll see you later, man. I'm going to be here for a while pumping iron. And Brock's like, I'm going to go to the film room. And then they just keep, you know.
I got all day and nowhere to be.
You know, I'll sleep here, man. That's what J.J. Watt does. I just imagine that. But I can't stand that narrative. It's just because everyone says how hard of a worker they are. But it's just like, I mean, what if the quarterback is already in there? People are racing to get into the. Bugs me. All right,
that's a great one.
Our second, another new segment we're gonna be doing. I'll get a soundbite for these next week. I'll do some producing. Hot take of the show. We're both gonna give a hot take that is somewhat controversial and maybe stupid in a way that's just not logical, but that's what makes it a hot take.
Yeah, I can't wait for yours.
Yeah,
Let's do yours first. Come on.
All right. I think owners should be fireable. I think that they should be able to. I think
this is the best part of the show right here. What makes you? How would you implement that idea?
Okay, if they buy the team, they just get their money back once we decide to fire them.
They get their money back.
They get their money back.
You're just tossing, like, $10 million
The details aren't made into it quite yet.
Who's the owner that's most on the hot seat in your
Jeffrey Lurie, the Eagles owner. I mean, this is a guy that, he didn't fire Howie Roseman when they gave Chip Kelly the power. He hit him in a corner, he paid him lots of money to stock the medical shelves, and then he just comes back and it automatically gets front office power again. I love the Wentz trade, but it's like, eventually, if he just, if this is his guy and he refuses to get rid of him and he's a detriment to the team, and no one can do anything about it because he's the owner, that bugs the hell out of me. I think you should be able to remove the owner if he's making poor decisions.
Oh, no.
Also, like stadium stuff. He's decided he's going to make a huge stadium. He's going to get all the revenue off it. But guess who's got to pay for it? The fans. Like, I feel like eventually, I love what the Packers do with having, like, a board of stockholders. Or it's like the
town. It's a publicly traded company.
I just think that the owners should have some sort of accountability. They just sit on their billions, and they just... Some people just run their teams into the ground. And I think there should be a way. I know it's illogical, but there should be a way where the owners are held accountable for their stupid moves.
My pick
like
would
Jerry
be...
Like Jerry Jones, he's the GM. Yeah, like, he'll never be fired. He'll be there until he dies. So, there's my rant.
My pick would have been Dan Schneider.
There's so many guys that are just... That just bugged me. So.
They're a bigger detriment to their teams than they are an asset.
Give us your hot take, Jordan.
My hot take is on the Los Angeles Rams.
Okay.
Don't start Jared Goff.
I like that you didn't say St. Louis. You caught
yeah.
me.
Yeah, please don't start Jared Goff.
Why not?
Oh, LA. It's just you guys are trying so hard to appeal to to Tinseltown, that you're trading up for the quarterback. Trading up for the quarterback is fine. I get it. You want your guy. Get your guy. Get the Cali guy. Don't throw him to the dogs when you have no receivers.
Pharaoh Cooper.
Don't do this. Don't do this to your quarterback. You have it. You did it all right. You did it all good. Everything is perfect. St. Louis is gone. L.A., you have your Cali guy. Deal with Case Keenum for a year. Deal with Case Keenum until you get your receivers. Please. Los Angeles Rams, don't do this to your rookie. I've seen it too many times before. I've seen it to happen to so many quarterbacks. I've seen it happen to EJ, JP Lawson. I'm a Bills fan. I've seen this too many times to let it happen to somebody else. I've been tired of it. I'm tired of seeing these young rookie quarterbacks, and they're like, where'd that guy go? Well, the Rams played him immediately, and he got hit 50 times a game, and then he had no one to throw to and threw 30 picks. Oh, Jared Goff was a bust. No. The Rams were stupid. Jared Goff was not a bust. Jared Goff was put in a situation to fail.
So are you,
don't start Jared Goff.
So are you? Is it so? Blaine Gabbert wasn't at fault in Jacksonville.
I think the Jacksonville was one at fault for drafting him so high,
yeah,
and
true.
Two at fault.
Nowhere.
I think you look at a lot of these quarterbacks. JP Lossman had all the talent in the world.
Right.
JP Lossman had a crazy arm. He was fast, but the Bills threw him in far too early. And it came back and bit him, and they were done. And he was done. And it set the Bills franchise back 5 years.
The pressure to win now is killing quarterbacks even more. And I just think that the whole situation, I think Goff is going to be a very good quarterback in the NFL, but the whole situation just doesn't mix well in LA because, yeah, they're trying to sell tickets. He's a Cali guy. They got Hard Knocks coming. You need a face of the franchise. It's not Case Keenum. But at the same time, this is a front office. You know, Les Snead and Jeff Fisher, they're trying to keep their jobs. They've been 7-9 for like 3 straight years, and
they're thinking
been
with their wallets.
Okay,
they're
yeah.
thinking. They're thinking
it's not
tickets.
Just that, though, because, but they're also thinking they're desperate to save their jobs, and they need a quarterback. So they paid the farm to get a rookie though coming in, but they don't have the right situation for a rookie to come in and thrive because they they have Todd Gurley and a strong offensive line, but you have nobody to throw the football to, and it's not. I agree with you. I think it's going to be. Bad. I don't think it's going to work.
I think the Eagles are doing it right, and the Rams are doing it wrong. I think that's it.
You can just tell, like, Russell Wilson came in and he won
Russell
the job.
Russell Wilson is the type of guy. Russell Wilson's a different type of quarterback.
Well, Winston did it
Goff
last
is,
year.
Goff's Mariota, a pocket passer.
I'm agreeing with you, but
yeah.
I mean,
he relies so much on his arm.
Last year, though.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, there's some quarterbacks that are pro-ready, but there's some that just... They're on the brink of that, but they're also just put in a situation where they're not going to thrive. And I think.
But, yeah, and you've heard that about quarterbacks like Winston. Winston was... Pro ready.
Yeah, yeah.
Mariota was pro ready. You both Goff and Wentz. Everyone says they should take a year. They should take a year. And the Rams aren't doing it. The Eagles are. Wentz will probably end up being better than Goff. And I'm not even sure it's because Wentz is better than Goff, if that makes sense.
No, I understand.
Wentz would be better than Goff because his organization handled him better.
Again, yeah, it's not just about the player. It's about the situation. It's about how the organization handles it. So that was your hot takes of the day. I think that's all we got for the third episode of the Home Field Advantage
Killing
podcast.
It.
Jordan's on for a second time. He's going to be a regular on, so... Again, thank you for joining us. Make sure to check all our podcasts out at bltdsports.com. We also got it up now on iTunes at Home Field Advantage Podcast. We got it up on Podomatic and YouTube. So you can find the show in a lot of different venues. Follow me on Twitter at dbsportstalk. I talk all football, you know, all sports. You can see my NFL writings on bltdsports.com. Jordan, where can they find your stuff?
They can find my stuff at Vail.com, and they can find me at JHanskinVail. I know we did that already, but just thought I'd repeat it. You know.
Just keep it going. We got
to be with a follow.
We got to advertise our stuff, get it going. But yeah, that's going to do it for the third episode. We're going to be doing it every Wednesday and Friday, so we'll be back next Wednesday with our fourth edition. And yeah, that's going to do it for the Home Field Advantage podcast. Thank you for joining us, and make sure you tune in next time. You've been listening to a BLTD Sports production. For more great podcasts and articles, log on to bltdsports.com or follow us at BLTD Sports.